Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Many people always emphasize on he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They ignore the part that says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. You must believe that it is God you came to meet. And if it is God you came to meet, there is a way you will respond to God. See, let me tell you something here. No matter what you claim God is to you, your disposition to worshiping him will explain what he is to you. If it is God you really believe you came here to meet, or if it is you believe that when people gather in the name of Jesus, when God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them, there is a way you will worship. Are you with me? Some of you, when you if you meet the governor of this state, you just start, oh, nobody will tell you. Nobody told you that you should bow, but you will bow. Then we are singing before the Lord our God, we came to bow. And some people are just, and the angels are like, see these ones. Yes. And let me tell you something. Until you get to the point where you are practical with your walk with God, you will not make progress. You will not make progress. I'm telling you. Because we are used to being passive in church. We have raised a generation of people who are passive churchgoers. So they say, bow down before the Lord. In their mind, they are bowing down because the song is saying, bow before the throne. Listen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you're bowing down, even though you cannot see a throne there, God is there. Are you with me? And until you respond like that, you will not see the hand of God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Don't worry, pastor is not angry. But I'm grieved in my spirit that at this stage, some people are still like this. Have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that says, the spirit of God lusteth in jealousy? It's in the book of James. James chapter 4. This anger is a holy anger. It's the anger from the spirit. James 4. It's not part of my sermon, but I need to talk to somebody here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not a friendship with the world? Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Do you know what that means? It means anytime a Christian is more responsive to the world, God is jealous. Oh my God. Did you hear what I just said? Anytime a believer is more responsive, or he's responding more to the world than responding more to God, God will call him an adulterer. It's just the same way in a marriage situation, when a man and a woman have committed themselves to get married, and then the wife sees the husband excited about other women. So you will see your wife and you're like, hello ma, how are you? Is there food? Let me eat. Then you will see one lady in church. You will see one kid and you're like, oh my dear, how are you doing? this your makeup is just fine. I like your hairdo. Your wife is somewhere looking at you like, let's go to the house first. This same God you worship, or you claim to worship or to be your God, they are saying before the Lord our God, he come to bow. Some people are just one kind. Some are like this. Some are like this. What is it happen here? But that same person, when you are watching Tribe of Judah, or watching Aquaman, or watching, you are just excited. You say, hey, that guy makes sense. You are responding. God's looking at you and he's jealous. Yes, you're making God jealous. Let me tell you something. There is nothing in the Christian faith that is just doing. There is nothing that is unimportant. Let me put it like that. There is nothing that we do. You know, I was talking with a brother this morning, and he was asking us, why do people shout glory? Why do people read? Why are people so loud? And I opened the Bible and explained to him. It's not just our church doctrine. It's not our Pentecostal rascality. No. Praise the Lord. I will not be distracted from my today's sermon in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So today I came with a word from the Lord for us. And I've titled it Head Start. Hallelujah. So for those of you who are wondering, what does head start mean? It is an advantage granted or gained at the beginning of something. So imagine you were in a race and maybe there were 5 contestants on the race, and they blew the whistle for the 5 people to run. And as all of you started running, 3 of them had muscle pull.
and said, hey, my Lego. And the other two kept on running. You know what has happened? Those two have gained head start above the others. Are you with me? Are you following me? They've gained head start. They gave an advantage. Somehow, they've gained some speed. So it's an advantage granted or gained at the beginning of something. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in this service, we gain head start. We gain advantage. We gain speed. We gain order. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this service is so important because, listen, the excitement of the new year will soon go. And when it goes, if you are not careful, you may think you are still in 2023. Because let me tell you, it is us that is counting the day. The sun is not counting. Oh my God. See, it is us that are counting for the sake of accountability. The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. I'm telling you, this same sun is used to routine. It has been going up and coming down since creation till now. So if you don't make a change, if something drastic does not happen, your life will remain the same. If something does not happen differently, listen, the new year will not be new. And I'm no prophet of doom, I'm just telling you the truth. And so listen, this service will recalibrate you. I said this service will recalibrate you. You need to understand that everything that happens in the earth realm begins with the participation from God and man. Listen, what am I trying to say? The prophetic word alone is not enough to cause a full change. There is a reason prophetic words are given. When they tell you, oh, so, so and so will happen tomorrow. For instance, maybe they tell you, those of you who follow weather forecast, and they tell you in the next 7 days, rain is going to fall heavily in Port Harcourt. It's for you to do something. Are you with me? They expect that if you heard that forecast, you will wear a raincoat, carry an umbrella, or plan for the rain. Praise the Lord. So the prophecy is to do something, is to help you take some steps. So the prophetic word alone is not enough to make this year new. If this year will be truly a new year, it must also produce, or it must start with a new you. If this year will be a new year, it must begin with a new you. And even look at the theme that God has given us as a ministry for this year. What's the theme for this year? What is the theme for this year? What is the theme for this year? If you take what I'm going to teach or what I'm teaching this evening serious, your life will truly change. Praise the Lord. Quantum leaps. Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 6 to 7. This was the first scripture from which we got that word from. Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 6 to 7. It says, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. See, let me tell you, you need to have some introspection over verses like this. This is not a man telling you. This is not your friends telling you. This is God telling you. You have dwelt long enough on this mount. Do you know? Eh? Oh God, oh God, oh God. The Bible, the people of Israel that came out of Egypt, do you know that they were not the ones that entered the promised land? Do you know that? The Bible says that when God saw the stubbornness of their heart, he said he would die in this wilderness. So for 40 years, they were going around in circles and they did not know. Oh God. For 40 years, they were going around like that. I've come to discover, if something drastic does not happen in your life, I'm telling you, the only thing that will change about you is that you become taller, bigger, or fatter. You know, going to school gives you an illusion of progress. Going to school from primary 1 to primary 2, primary 5, GS1, it gives you an idea. You think that is how life is. By the time you are done with secondary school, university, youth service, and you are working, that is how you can be on a job for 30 years. Does not mean you are changing. It says you have dwelt on this mount long enough. Thank God I started hearing things like this very, very early. I can tell you the years You people are already used to it. Those of you who come, you are already used to hearing those years. I can tell you when the years I began to shift. 2005. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was when I got born again. 2006, I began to pray in the Spirit. Began to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. 2007, I began to preach in schools. In fact, not just preaching in schools, then secondary school. I knew that my IQ opened up. Then 2007, 2008, 2009. That was when my spirit man became deep. Because I remember, those were the days I had the luxury that I don't have again. Where? Oh God. When you are back from school and they have all those long breaks and holidays. Just at home doing nothing. While my friends are playing, I already encountered the Holy Ghost. So there were days I read the Bible from morning till night. Sometimes 18 hours, 20 hours. Yes. Some of you don't believe it, but it's true. It's what it is. It is what it is. I remember in 2008, I was talking to one of the youth leaders in our church. I was a teenager. I think 16. And I was talking to Meno Pastor Dagogo. Wilkos. He looked at me like this. So you're an old man. I said, sir. He said, you are not what you look like. What have you been reading? I said, ah. By the time I got to Covenant in 2010, 100 level, that first day I came, they knew somebody came inside our school. That day. By 7 days in that campus, they had to carry me away. This one is a strange human being. In a few weeks, I was seen standing in front of Bishop Biri for the lay hands on me. This one is different. Say after me, I've built on this mount long enough. Some of you are not talking. I've built on this mount long enough. I came to make you angry. I'm telling you. To make you angry. And you are not too young. Neither are you too old. Abraham began his journey when he was 75. Of course, there's nobody here who is 75 years old. Praise the Lord. Abraham began his journey when he was 75. Joash in the Bible began his journey when he was 6. You are not too young. You are not too old. Oh, pastor, this door of favor has not opened for me. Listen, even if nothing is working for you externally, you must be changing inside. Do you hear what I said? Even if nothing is working for you outside, on your inside, you must be a different person. People must hear you talk and know that you have grown spiritually. There must be a change in your way of thinking. Are you hearing me? You have dwelt on this mountain long enough. Quantum leaps, breaking out of that status quo. Break out. Praise the Lord. Even in quantum physics, the only reason why the electron will move from this level to the higher level was that a photon energy entered inside. Light energy entered inside. And boom! The Bible says, arise, shine. Arise, shine. Some of you are sleeping. God is saying, arise. You have been sleeping for 2 years. Arise. Some people, oh my God, I've said this thing before. I will say it again. Some people, we are in 2024, but in the spirit, the last time they were awake was 2020, 4 years ago. I know what I'm saying is paining some people. Let it pain you so you get up. Say after me, quantum leaps. Say after me, change. Say after me, leap. It says, you have dwelt on this mountain long enough. Turn ye and take your journey. That's the next verse. It says, turn here and take your journey. Meaning, do something about it. Turn here and take your journey. Make a drastic move. There must be a disruption. Yes. Sometimes, for the change you need to just say, Some people, God needs to just... You know, somebody was telling me how she was addicted to movies. And then her hard drive fell and broke. And all the movies inside, everything crashed. I said, that's the hand of God. That was the move of the Spirit. You are addicted to Korean movies. Every day, K-drama. Every day, you are watching K-drama. Every day. You watch it more than you pray. You watch it more than you read your Bible. There's a problem. Then it fell and cracked. That's not the devil. That's the move of the Spirit. Angels are working on your assignment. So, it has been called Head Start. What must we do to see a quantum leap and win 2024? Number one, devotion. You can put in brackets, repeat. prepare your altar. Number one, devotion. I'm telling you things I did and I'm still going to do. I found out that any year that I decided to pray and fast more, that year was different. Hey, God. Praise the Lord. Repair your altar. Don't think you can have a leap without a shift in your spiritual life. Put all that to your devotional life. Don't just say, I will pray more. When will you pray? When is your devotion time? How long will you pray? This is why we even put devotions. 6:30 a.m. 6 to 6:30. Okay, even if you say you are struggling, put the devotion. There is, you know, some people, they are very good at giving excuses. And people who are good at giving excuses are not good at any other thing. They say, join devotion by 6. Okay, somebody is praying, or your own is to pray along. Just pray along. Listen and pray along. Let it stir you to pray along. Some of them, they'll be awake. Wake up that morning. They will see the notification 6 a.m., but they'll go to Instagram first. Make I see. I will get to that. Number one, devotion. When will you pray? How long will you pray? If you say, okay, join church devotion and pray, fine. Then after it ends by 6:30, extend your own a little bit. Extend it a little bit, maybe 10 minutes. Pray a little bit. I will study the word more. How? This Bible, I will read it. If you are following our devotionals, you would have discovered we have started Bible reading already. And unlike last year, that we are trying to finish the Old Testament before New Testament, this one, I'm putting the two together. And now we have compressed it in such a way that if you follow that devotion, by December 31st, you would have finished the Bible. Praise the Lord. You need to tell yourself, I will be committed to Jesus more. How? I will obey his leading. Okay, I remember when I made up my mind that there, from today henceforth, there is nothing God will tell me to do, or there is nothing I believe God wants me to do that I will not do. That's what has brought us here. Yes. You know that sometimes where you feel like God wants you to preach to somebody, but you're like, should I preach? Should I go? Should I not go? God wants me to do this thing. God wants me to give a seed. Should I give it? Should I not give it? What will happen? If I do like this, I will... Anything God wants me to do, I will do. If the heavens want to fall, let it fall. At least it's heaven falling upon me. And I've noticed every single time I obeyed God, even when I was not sure. When it looked like I missed it, God will always arrange my step. As long as I believe I was obeying God, are you with me? I will study the word more. I will read the Bible. You know, this Bible reading of a thing, I don't know. It's, Satan. Oh my God. Somebody will watch a 2-hour movie and his eyes will be open throughout. But 5 chapters of the Bible and you are impacted with sleep. How? That's to tell you something is fighting you. No grief. Oh. No grief for anybody. I'm telling you, there are sometimes you see like 2 days have gone. Okay, you plan that I will pray and read the Bible for some days. Then 1-2 days have gone. You have not read the Bible. Put off your phone. Put it off. No grief for the devil. Put off that phone. Enter somewhere. Read those 5 chapters and come out. You can't keep on going like this. Your spirit man needs food now. The journey is far. See, let me tell you something. Oh my God. If you know the importance of consistency, I will get to it, but let me talk about it now since it's coming out. If you know the importance of consistency, you will not play what I'm saying. Let me tell you. No matter how much you try, God, they will get it in Jesus' name. Amen. You will get it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen. No matter how much food you eat today, or put it like this, no matter how much you feed a baby food, a baby who is 2-year-old food, no matter how much you feed her food in one day, she will never be as strong as a 20-year-old. Did you hear what I said? No matter how much you feed a 2-year-old baby food in one day, even if she eats everything, she will not be as strong as a 20-year-old. And no matter how much you starve a 20-year-old, he will not make him a 2-year-old. There are only things that will happen because of consistency. There are only things that will happen. There are levels of growth that will come because of consistent feeding, consistent intake, consistently. Sometimes I will repair my altar. Thank God for stretch prayers. But listen, the man that is praying for 30 minutes consistently every day at the same time, same place, oh, he's a strong man. Then you take it to 1 hour. You say, okay, every day. That's why when we are done with our prayer and fasting, we will start midnight encounter. Yes, sir. 300 nights. Every night, 11:30 to 12:30 or 12 midnight to 1, we are praying. Come rain, come shine. Whether there is program, no program. Whether anything that wants to happen, we are praying. We are praying. So that you will not stand. Go and go ask God. God ask, why are you not praying? Say, I was tired. Say, why didn't you join midnight encounter? Why didn't you join 6 a.m. prayer? Why didn't you join 9 p.m. prayer? Why? You is your fault, it's you. Only a serious approach guarantees the glorious result. Only a serious approach guarantees the glorious result. Only is, let me tell you something. When you see things very excellent, eh? When you see things, people just do things on a very high scale. Think about, what kind of work did they put inside to be like this? Having my life must change. My life has changed. You know, there was a time in my life I didn't even know God was calling me to ministry. The way I was fasting, hey God. Now, I know why. No, I had to fast like that time. The journey is long. Our pastors, they work with me. There are some things they see Pastor David do. That thing is coming out from inside. If you don't build it inside, on that day of adversity, your strength will not be small. As I end this point on devotion, repair your altar. Remember that time in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus came to visit Mary and Martha, and Martha was everywhere going around looking for food for Jesus, which is not a bad thing. But Mary sat down to hear his word. So you can call it that time of fellowship with God, praying, reading the word of God. And Martha was angry and saying, Jesus, you allowed me to be overtaken with all this running around to arrange food and things for you to eat. Tell Mary to come and join me. And Jesus told Martha something that scripture, God uses that scripture to touch me every day. He says, Martha, you are cumbered by many things. You are distracted by many things, but one thing is needful. Hey, one thing is needful. Let me tell you, no matter what you do in a day, if you have not prayed, read your Bible, you wasted that day. Because in God's view, he said one thing is needful. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. Thank God I heard this thing on the 4th of January. Listen, this year, new breed, you will quantum leap. Did I hear your amen? One thing is needful. One thing. So now, this today, have you done the one thing? In the last 3 days, have you done the one thing? One thing is needful. What have you been doing since this year started? What have you been doing since this year? That means if 2 days, 3 days have come and gone, and you did not do what is needful in God's sight, God said, yeah. See, you know, if you can sit down with the word of God entering your spirit every day, like droplets every day, if you can sit down with the word of God. I remember one time in my final year in the university, I did a 8 weeks teaching. I was just teaching the Bible. And the girl met me, Tolu Okolanwona. God bless her wherever she is. Small girl, she looked at me. Said, Pastor David, I want to tell you something. Said, I don't know. But I noticed something has been happening to me. I said, tell me. She says, I've been coming for this meeting. It's as if each time I come and go, at the beginning, it was like nothing was happening to me. I just felt like I'm just hearing things. See, but after like 5-6 meetings, it's as if something was just rising inside of me. Like they were building blocks. It's like I was just rising. Like something is building inside of me. I said, that's the word of God. The word of God. The ministry of the word in your spirit, man. He said, I'm feeling stronger. I feel bolder. I feel I feel like I have the power to fight. I say, yes. Yes, yes. Welcome. People who come to New Breed, that's their testimony. I'm telling you. People who follow in life, that's the same testimony. The ministry of the word of God. The Bible says, so mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. So mighty, the word of God can grow. The Bible says, as the rain cometh down from heaven and watereth the seed, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. So when the word of God enters your spirit, what does it do? It performs the counsel of God in your spirit man. The word of God does not enter your spirit man and come back void. Tell your neighbor, one thing is needful. You are not talking like you are hearing what I'm saying. Tell your neighbor, one thing is needful. Amen. Say it again, one thing is needful. And I pray for you, there is grace. Can I tell you something? I'm not just sharing to you secrets for the year. These are secrets of my life. I have never known a better last year. In the past 18 years, I have never known a better last year. In the past 18 years of my walk with God, I have never known a better last year. Listen to what I'm saying. I have never known a better last year. Never! Satami, 2024 is my year of quantum leaps. I've already talked about it, but for the sake of re-emphasis, diligence. The first one is devotion, repair your altar. The second one, diligence. God has never used a lazy man. God has never used a lazy man. Every man that God picked, that Jesus picked to be his disciples, they were doing something. If you read the Gospels, there was somebody that said, Jesus, I don't have what to do. I'm just loafing around. Jesus let him go. But Jesus saw a man going to bury the dead and said, you, come and follow me. He said, but I want to bury the dead. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Decide. Oh my God. There's a quote I used to say. Laziness is so slow that poverty soon overtakes. No principle will work until you begin to walk. No principle will work until you begin to walk. Anybody that knows me and knows this ministry, we walk. Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. I must walk. The Bible says, have you ever seen a man who is diligent in his business? Proverbs 22 verse 29. Have you ever seen a man, or King James, old King James says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? Meaning, you don't need to be talented, be committed. Hey! Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? As long as he's diligent. See, people say, I don't have talent for this. Let me tell you, just be committed in that thing. Just be diligent in that thing. I give you 3 years. You will make headway. You will make headway. I've always said it here. I said, even if it is 1.5 member of New Breed, I will prepare and I will minister like I'm talking to the entire world. Be committed. I don't understand. I called some people. Some businesses that we church do those things for. I said, we want to print some banners. One said, we are not open until 10th. I said, you are not serious. Find me a store that is open. Let's print our banner. You have done Christmas. You have done New Year. You have done 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of January. You are still waiting till 10th of January to open. What's wrong with you? How many New Year are you going to do? How many chicken are you going to eat? Get to work. Praise the Lord. People are saying no greed for anybody. See, let me show you something in the Bible. You will see that in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Everybody read with me from the beginning. 1, 2, 3, go. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise. Nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. Now, this is one of the verses that we used to say, it's not by your hard work, it's not by your struggle. It says, I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, but nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happening to them. I said, this life is by luck, oh, this life is by chance. So listen, read that verse again. Time and chance happening to them all. Who are the them all? The them all are in the context of the swift, the wise, the strong, men of skill, men of understanding. Listen, if you are not a man of skill, you're not a man of understanding, you are not, if you are not swift, if you are not hardworking, if you are not running the race, time and chance does not happen to you. See, that's the only way to no agree. Because listen, there is only chance and time for those who are already hardworking. Oh, and people did not get what I'm saying. The them all is the people that you mentioned here. Time and chance happening to them all. Then what does that mean? It means opportunity and time or chance only comes to those who are swift already. Mm-hmm. The man who is not running the race will never see opportunity. The man who is not swift will never see chance. Yes. You hear what I'm saying? Except me, I refuse to be slothful. Ah! Some of you, which kind of sleep are you sleeping? Sleep by 10, wake up by 9. 10 p.m. to 9 a.m. 1 hour more to make it 12 hours. You are not pregnant. You are not sick. Your body is not recovering from anything. 10 p.m. to 9 a.m. Ah, half of the whole day is gone. 12 hours gone. Then you wake up and say, this sleep never do me. I'm still feeling tired. Let me read a verse of the Bible for you. Proverbs 24, verse 30. And you know the anointing. Generally, like this, sleep is sweet. The Amatan has not come. In December, we'll come and meet you. But no, wake up. Wake up. Proverbs 24, verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. No sense. Verse 31. I know I'm sounding tough, but collect it like that, swallow it like that. You need it. Verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken. Verse 32. Then I saw and considered, it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Verse 33. Yet a little sleep. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Verse 34. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Do you know what this means? Oh my God. Let me explain. He says, there is a way a man will be lazy. Poverty will ambush him. He says, so shall thy poverty come. You know, when you read it like this, you may not get what he's trying to say. So shall the poverty come as one that traveleth? Does it make sense? Actually, he's trying to say, so shall the poverty come as a man who is traveling, then armed robbers will lead him. That's what he's trying to tell you. That when a man allows himself to be lazy, and allows himself to be, that's why I told you before, poverty is so slow that laziness is so slow, poverty soon overtakes. Tell your neighbor, do something. Okay, my business, pastor. Wake up in the morning. Go to cyber cafe, print something, even if it's with paper, use scissors and cut it. Go around, come to my business. I'm doing this. Listen, when a man is diligent, it will give you some kind of sense. You must do something. No, I even if there's no money, I must do something. My guys who know me, they know Pastor David. If Pastor wants to do something, hey God. You will see strange ideas, unimaginable things. You'll be wondering from whence comes such. When New Breed started, and we didn't have graphic designers that we have now. Oh my God. The designs that were coming out, people were asking, who is designing this thing? They didn't know that it was Pastor. I will sit with phone. I will go and crop something from Microsoft Word, join it from this one, collect it from like this. By the time I sit down for 5 hours and pound something together, you will come to church. That is why now, when I work in my graphic design, they know it's hard to please pastor. Because I'm like, wait, me, I'm not designer. I'm just collector, an assembler. You, that you say is Photoshop, and see what you are doing. Come on, get out of this place. Then you work hard. Number three, develop yourself. Improve your value. Read books. In your chosen field, read books. Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Start reading about it. Ensure that you get better. At your job, at your business, develop. Oh, vow that next year must meet me a different person. You know, sometimes I and my wife, we've noticed something. Our old diaries, where we write what we, our convictions in Bible study and things. When we read it today, it was like, is that what I was writing that time? And I felt like I made too much sense. It's obvious my wisdom has developed. You know, there are some posts I see when Facebook brings reminder. I'm like, Kai, then I was writing it like I had Rema. Like I was bombarding everybody. Take. When I read it, and I'm like, Jesus, God have mercy. What sort of? I feel like saying, no, don't show me. I'll just delete it. You know why? Wisdom has developed. But you know what? There are people who are still there. They are still there. Of course, are there some things that are forever, eternally valuable? Of course, yes. But there are some that you know that you have passed this level. You've grown above these things. See, let me tell you, go to your house today. There are some clothes you should stop wearing. Yes. Do it prophetically because your life has changed. That cloth, it has torn, you sew it again. You tore, you sew it again. You are leaping above it in the name of Jesus. No, I did things like that too. There's one of my bonds. I said, my life has changed. You will leave me alone. Then anybody develop yourself. So in your chosen field, okay, pastor, this is my field. This thing I want to do. I cannot start it now. Okay, while you are planning for that, do the one that's in front of you. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. A young man met me and said, pastor, I see myself in ministry, but I don't know where to start from. I don't know. I have this skill. I can do this. I have this technical skill. I said, oh yeah, start from there. Start with the technical skill. Go as you are doing the work. When you close from work, start preaching to the people there. Tell your neighbor, be diligent. Develop yourself. Still under develop yourself. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10 says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. In your company, ensure that, you see, if you are working in a place, sometimes you need to think like this. If I was the MD of this company, what do I really want? If I was the owner of this establishment, what kind of staff am I looking for? I'm giving you a key. Ask yourself, what? So sometimes evaluate the company not as a staff, but as the owner. Are you following me? What do they need the most? And how can I position myself to be the one that will bring that value to them? If you can lock that thing, oh my God. Oh my God. If you can lock it, tell yourself, this year I will be a valuable contribution to anybody that has employed me. Number four, destroy distractions. So the first one, devotion. Number two, diligence. Number three, develop yourself. Number four, destroy distractions. How many of you remember today's morning devotion? What is distracting you? 1 Kings chapter 20 verse 40. Now, this was the opening verse. It says, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. They gave this particular servant a prisoner to hold for the king. They told him, if this prisoner escaped, you will pay with your life. He said, I hear. But as thy servant was busy, in his own words, the king says, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said to him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided it. You wake up in the morning. Just as you want to pray, your phone just bam, bam. Somebody commented on your post. What was the post? You posted that you are a fine girl. Then you now say, ah, more people will commence now. Come up. From doing like that, 1 hour went. The prayer that you came to pray, you did not pray. That should tell you that that one, no grief for your phone. Am I talking to you? Sometimes put on that phone. Well, let me tell you how you know that you're a phone addict. When your phone is off and your spirit is still moving you to touch it. You know that there's a problem. Put it off. Plug it somewhere. Keep it that side. I will not die. Without your phone, you will not die. Some people, it's not phone. It's other things. So you will learn to say things like this. Where do I want to be? What must I do to get there? What are the things that will distract me from doing it? What are the things that I know that if I put in my energy, it will take me forward? Write them down and start. Then you must be trained enough to identify distractions. Let me tell you, even some opportunities are distractions. Some unnecessary gifts are distractions. You know, somebody met me and said, what do you think about what is happening with this pastor? That there is a news about one pastor. I said, is that my business? I said, is that my business? He was shocked. I said, I don't need to have a comment on everything. I said, I'm praying for him. And God, I told them he will be fine. I prayed for him. They said, pastor, is that all? I said, that's all. Let's get back to work. What's my business? Distractions. Some people, the person that they have beef with, they will carry the beef into the new year. And they'll be beefing the person everywhere. They are still quarreling with the person everywhere, here and there. You see, you are distracting your energy. Energy you use and love and move on, you are keep, oh my God. Following the person everywhere. Go on Instagram and say, what has the person done now? Let me see. Every talk around, you know. Every gist around, you know. Insta block, you and them, you are their friends. Yaba left. People are going and right with God. So you say it's left. You want to be. Wait, what? All the gist. But you have a destiny. You have a future. You have a destiny to fulfill. Some of you, God has given you songs. Come and rehearse. God has given you things. Work on it. Are you what I'm saying? Why are you out there criticizing everybody? Be sharpening your own iron. Be sharpening your own iron. And as you are sharpening, telling them, my time is coming. Hey, my time is coming. I may be under the shadows right now, but my time is coming. I may not be known, but my time is coming. Destroy distractions. Distractions to your spiritual life. I've talked about that one. You want to pray. That's when they call you. Can you come for a ladies' hangout this weekend? Hey. Say, we are going to the pool. That's when you already plan to do 3 days fasting. Say, we are going to the swimming pool, to the beach party. Just know, no grief. No grief for anybody. When you have planned, I said, this weekend I will set out time with God. Then I tell you, Then you say, don't worry, Lord, I'll give you another time. Let me go this time. No, this time is timing you. Next week again, you want to go, have you heard about this wedding? You are not close to them. You are not connected to them in any way. See, but I must go. I must wait. Oh, I'm best Saturday. Distractions to your finances. Small alerts that come like this. Fam. Keep some. Say no. That necklace. That this one. That one. Distractions to your finances. There are some things you need. You need to tell yourself, this thing, I don't need it. Oh, there are some things I don't need. There are things I need. For my men here, brothers, fathers to be, or fathers, you have 4 shoes, you want to change another shoe, you have not paid school fees. There's a problem. You need help. Some bones need to be tightened in your brain. Distractions. You know, I was talking to a businessman yesterday. He came to see me, I was praying for him. He said, Pastor David, there is something called billionaire's distraction. That most of his friends are billionaires. And there are some kind of things they talk about. They say, okay, can we just go and just spend money and just get to be bragging about the number of girls they can collect and spend and just buy like this and buy like that. He said, see, he had to call them one day and say, see, the way you are going like this, you don't have future. Even if you are a billionaire, you don't have future like this. Distraction. Some people, once they get alert, they will not rest until it finishes. It just feels good to transfer money. Until it finishes. Tell anybody, destroy distractions. Christmas have gone. You have already taken ice cream, taking pizza. You have enjoyed the Christmas. God now favored you. Bam! Something happened in the middle of January. Say, no, we can do Christmas in January. Say, hello, girls. Hello, brothers. Hey, calm down. There is February coming on. The seed that they say you sow in church, sacrifice, you've not removed it. Tithe, you've not removed. It's when you finish all the money, you'll not remember that last 10%. Say, Lord, it's with a heavy heart I bring this. I bring this tithe before you. Because they've spent everything. Tithe, they've not given. They've not given anything. They spent everything. The Lord, as I pay this tithe, then they say general sacrifice. Say, all these pastors. All these pastors. And I pray for you. Your finances multiply. Amen. You receive favor on every side. Amen. I cannot hear your amen. Amen. I said you receive favor on every side. Amen. As you plan to give this January and also save, you receive favor on every side. Amen. Your businesses open up on every side. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And finally, for today, decide that everything we have said will become real in your life. Decide. Decide. You know why decision is called a decision? It's from two words. Decide, incision. Let me explain. When you study the makeup of the human teeth, there are different types of tooth or teeth. So who knows them? Molars, premolars, right? Incisors and canine. The incisors are the major ones used for cutting. So when you see that word incision, it means cut. To cut. Are you with me? So when you see decide incision, put together called decision, decide what to cut. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So decide that anything that will stop you from fulfilling all these things, you cut it. Oh, yes. Although it will be hard, though. It will be hard. Sometimes I want to pray like this. Rakata, I'll just hear joy. I will. Joy will be banging my door. So I said I will devise a way. Sometimes I'm doing the prayer, I will carry her, join me. When she looked at me like raga ba 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 ba, she look. She will join me too. When she started, she go, I must start prayer. It must work. Jump on your feet. So what must we do? Number one is what? Devotion. Repair your altar. Number two is what? Diligence. Number three, develop yourself. You know, I didn't mention this. Some of you need to develop your human relationships, your human skills. Yes. The Lord told me one of the things he will do for his people this year, he will connect them to supernatural relationships. Amen. Some of you, God is connecting you maritally. Amen. I want to hear your amen. Say it for somebody else. Amen. In business, God is connecting you. Investment, God is connecting you. Amen. You have supernatural relationships. Amen. Develop your relationship skills. You cannot be always angry and you think God will bring more people around you. No. Always angry. Don't worry, it's just my default face. No, smile. Always feeling sad. No, shake it off. Tomorrow will be better. Are you with me? Develop yourself. So the first one is what? Devotion. The second one is what? Diligence. The third one is what? Develop yourself. The fourth one is destroy distractions. And the fifth one, decide. Decide to be consistent. Decide to follow all that we have talked about today. Decide what you will do for God. Some of you, you will decide that your WhatsApp will preach Jesus. That you will use your phone and talk about Jesus. Not every time Insta blog. Praise the Lord. Pastor is dragging me this week. Yes, I came for you. Some of you will put, I cannot laugh alone. Every time, your data, I cannot laugh alone. But you have been keeping Jesus alone. Pastor is policing us. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I will be what you want me to be.